listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Bonjour, mes amis. Je m'appelle Ed McGrogan. We're back with the Tennis in 10 podcast, your daily look at all the action from Roland Garros in under 10 minutes. And we're about at the halfway point of the tournament. The third round, not complete, though. This is a little earlier version of the podcast, hopefully, because play was called at about 7 p.m. local time, 1 p.m. here in the East Coast of the U.S., with a few matches to be complete tomorrow. The ones that did get in, though, I think, again, a pretty noteworthy day overall, as we move into the second week of the tournament. The day's marquee match, we'll start with that, was Andy Murray versus Juan Martín Del Potro. Now, it was marquee coming into it, and it certainly paid off, that expectation early on. The first set of that was, it rekindled all of what you remember from last year's two marathons between Murray and Del Potro at the Olympic Games and in Davis Cup. This first set was 83 minutes in length, 7-6, 10-8 in the tiebreaker that went to Murray. It was a mixture of inability to hold, but just really the person kind of reeling on the ropes, just finding something to sustain that set for just a little bit longer. It made the second set, which was 7-5, by comparison, feel like a breeze. When you have a set that goes that long, it shouldn't feel like it was just a walk in the park. But the way that how much was exerted in the first set made it seem that way, and that made the third set, which was 6-0 to Murray. Of course, I don't know if it felt predestined that way, given what Del Potro put into the first two sets and couldn't put into the third. But we have seen this a lot in some matches with Del Potro since really, the extended stretch of his career where he's dealt with injury. He has just been unable to last for the duration. Obviously a match in stark contrast to that is what we saw in Davis Cup last year against Murray. Although, what ended up happening with the Olympic Games, I thought he wilted, by the end there as well. This is a completely different story. 6-love in a match where Del Potro really did have a lot of his firepower going for a long time. Murray, I thought, was very sharp in using the drop shot as much as he could. He actually brought that out the first 2 points of the match and did so again, throughout the first set tiebreaker. And really, whenever he wanted to, sort of test Del Potro's health a little bit and his mobility. The big guy, he always, I think, surprises us with his ability to compete in this incredibly demanding baseline era. But he's one of the few guys that really has the game and the code and the confidence to beat some of the members of the Big Four. But, this was Murray. As soon as the second set ended, it was over with. So he moves on to the fourth round. Before that, on Chatrier, we had, another seed go down to an unseeded player, Agnieszka Radwanska, the 9 seed, unable to hold serve once against Elise Cornet, the French woman, 6-2, 6-1. Cornet will face another French woman in Caroline Garcia in the fourth round. She had the day's most competitive match. It was first in court one against Shea Sue, 6-4, 4-6, 9-7, meaning that France will have a player in the quarterfinals of the women's draw. They'll also have somebody in the fourth round of the men's, but the match between Monfils and Gasquet was not completed. It was currently 6-5 to Monfils. Monfils had set points in that first set. That match, the way that was looking in terms of, both players very content to trade balls from the baseline, standing back, playing 20-shot rallies very regularly. I mean, that at that pace, at least, not that it will necessarily end up this way, but if it continued on that stretch, you're looking at a four-hour match there between those two. And, you know, it's one of those where I was thinking about it, and Monfils and Gasquet does look great on paper, I have to say. Certainly gets the boost for being, you know, being played at Roland Garros. But I didn't think it translated all that well thus far, honestly. The fans, for one, don't have that collective rooting interest behind one of the two players, as they, unlike when a Frenchman plays a player from any other country, particularly on Chatrier. And, you know, for all of the gets and the shot making that both these two can bring us, it almost was like too much of the same sort of tune. I think that's why Monfils is at his best when he is playing someone who is much more of a straight up and down player. And, you know, when Gasquet is forced to use a little of his creativity against guys of the same milk, I was, you know, as much as I was looking forward to that one a bit, I was okay with the bell kind of being rung, and maybe we'll get something a little different tomorrow when that finishes. Moving back to the women's side, on Longland, Halep over Kazakina, 6-0, 7-5. There were actually 3-6 love sets played today in the third round of a major, on show courts, no less. So there was a lot of lopsided play, actually, from what did come through on Saturday. The other one came in Stan Wawrinka's 3-set win over Fanini, 7-6, 6-0, 6-2. That one sort of, in a way, resembled the Murray-Del Potro match in that there was a big push by both men early on, and as soon as that push waned from Fanini in this match, it was all Wawrinka one-way traffic. Fanini actually served for the first set twice, unable to convert, and Wawrinka wins 12 of the final 14 games after that, you know, in really no contest the rest of the way. Wawrinka and Murray, I think you do have to give a lot of credit to today, given that I think both of them played difficult lower-seeded players, the 28 and the 29 seeds in Fanini and Del Potro, but guys, obviously, they have slam experience, certainly dangerous games, but both of them get out of a rainy day in straight sets, get their matches in. That's key. I think is a huge day for both of those two. And you could say the same for Cilic as well, who wins 1-3-3 early against Feliciano Lopez. Cilic extremely under the radar, not even being discussed at this tournament, even though he is the 7th seed and looking really nice on the clay so far. The other matches that were played partially or completely, Hyun Chung against Kei Nishikori. Chung pushed that to a 4th set, which he leads 3-love. He lost the first 2 sets and he won the 3rd in a tiebreaker. And over on court 2, you had a continuation of a match that started on Friday between Wozniacki and CeCe Bellis. That did finish, thankfully. Wozniacki winning in 3 sets, 6-2, 2-6, 6-3. Kevin Anderson earlier defeating Kyle Edmund in 5 sets, 6-4 in the 5th. John Isner drops the first set in a tiebreaker, actually, to Karen Chachanov. That's the only part of that match that was completed. And you move over to court 3, the remaining singles play, Carlos Suarez Navarro, 6-4, 6-4 over Vesnina, and Fernando Verdasco defeating Pablo Cuevas in something of a minor upset, given what Cuevas has done this year, but Verdasco certainly no clay court slouch himself. He does win 2-1 and 3. That was certainly the surprise element of that match. So quite a few singles matches to get, third round singles matches to get in tomorrow, and as I'm recording this, the order of play still not out yet. It's going to be very busy with fourth round matches as well going in there. So this will be a pretty stacked card from start to finish tomorrow at Roland Garros. We'll have a lot to discuss tomorrow on the Tennis in 10 podcast. I bid you adieu. We'll talk tomorrow.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to tennis.com.